Hello, and welcome back to Master of Disaster. I'm your host, Mark Bukowski, and this is podcast number 3. I keep telling myself and everyone that I am going to do these once a week, but I have not been keeping up to my end of the deal, and that's part of what we'll talk about today. I'd like to, before I start, thank my brother-in-law for giving me the motivation to do this. I don't think I would be doing this without him, but he keeps a pretty close eye on me, and he keeps the ball rolling. So I appreciate that, and let's get started. So I, over the last 4 days, have done probably 10 podcasts, all of them about 40 minutes long, because I wanted to keep them shorter than the last, just to keep people's attention. And I have deleted every single one of them. And I've deleted them because I didn't like them. I didn't like the way I was doing them. I was taking 4 or 5 pages of notes, and I was trying to talk to you as I'm reading notes, and it wasn't working. So today I finished work a little early, and I felt a little inspired to come down here and do it without any notes and just wing it like I did the first two. So the first two, if you haven't listened to them, then you can go back and listen to them. I talked a little bit about my childhood. The point of this podcast isn't, again, like I said in the last one, to have people feel sorry for me for my childhood. I had 2 loving parents, and again, my mother did everything she was capable of, and she loved me the way she knew how. And part of the point I want to make today is who I am today is completely I'm completely the man I am today because of that's the path I chose. And that goes for anybody. I don't care who or what you are. We are what we create. In my childhood, at this point in my life, has nothing to do with who I am and where I'm going. So anybody that sits around and constantly feels sorry for themselves and wants a pity party because of what they've gone through or how bad they've had it or how bad they have it right now, you need to get that shit out of your head, because you're not going to move forward wanting everybody to feel sorry for you. What's happened is gone, and the past is the past, and you cannot fix it. But in this present moment, you can fix whatever it is you want to do going forward. And it comes down to basically one thing, and it took me a long time to figure this out, and I'm still, to this day, probably more right now than ever in my life trying to do this, and that is work on what I want out of life. There's a huge difference between thinking what I want to do and doing what I want to do. We all think exactly what we want, but we never do what we think. And that's completely normal, because we only get out of this life what we put into it. And for a majority of my life, I was, like I said, a bully, and I suffered from anxiety. And then I went through a drug addiction because I thought that was what helped take care of my anxiety. But to be honest with you, I always tell people probably the worst thing I've gone through in my life wasn't my childhood. It was my drug addiction. It was terrible. And anybody that currently has an addiction or had an addiction, it's the worst thing in the world to lie to everybody, constantly hide things, constantly trying to make yourself look like you're sober or clean in front of everybody else when they clearly know that you're not. They get to a point where they give up, and they accept who you are. They don't like it, but they stop trying because they know that you're not willing to try. So when you think you're hiding, you know, the pill that you just snorted that's making you feel like Superman, your significant other or whoever it is clearly sees your head nodding and your eyes rolling and your slow speech and all the things you think you're hiding, you're not. But why do we get addicted to drugs? Well, again, I'm not a doctor, but in my eyes, I truly think that I was addicted to something the day I was born. And it doesn't have to be a substance, but I was a creature of, we all are a creature of habit. But what I created was a person that wanted more. And whether it was more love, more attention, more whatever, as far back as I can remember, I constantly craved more. And a big part of me was craving more love and attention from my mom. But she was extremely busy working. Like I said, we grew up with next to nothing until a young age when my stepfather, who is my father, stepped into our lives and saved us from what could have been a lot worse, a hell of a lot worse than what I had. And my little pea brain does jump around, so I'm probably going to jump around a little bit here and there. But as I say that, that's a point I want to make to everyone that's struggling. As hard as it may seem, just take 1 minute to think of your life, and I guarantee it's better than 100,000 other people your age in this world. And where we are today is 100 million times better than where we were 100 years ago. I mean, a person my age, at any age in my life, move back in time 50, 100 years with the advancements we've had in medicine and technology. I mean, things have been so much easier for me than it would have been for another person. 100 years ago, someone with my thoughts and feelings would be definitely locked up. But through great work and great studies comes great accomplishments, and there's so many people that have accomplished so much to help people like us. So I consider myself someone who has accomplished a lot, only because I've failed at so many things. And back to when I said I was born with an addiction, I constantly craved attention, you know, from my mother. And she didn't always have time to give me attention. I had a sister. She needed love. I had a father. He needed love. We needed to eat. She needed to cook. She was young. She wanted to go out and have fun with her friends. I was the same way. I was more so that way than she was. With my addiction came a few years of my life that I was non-existent. So I completely get it. But my addiction started back then because I couldn't get what I wanted. So as a kid, and if you're a parent and you have a kid that acts out, they're acting out because they want something. So instead of getting mad and ignoring or yelling at your kid, try to sit down and understand what they want and just ask them, what is it that you want? And you may not get it at the first try, but eventually you'll figure out, you know, what's going on. And there's a lot of those patterns in my life that I remember where, to my mom, I was just a brat. And there were points that she said, right now, yes, I hate you. And it was just me reaching out. And again, these are all things that I had a problem with. So it was me, it was myself that was seeking help. And I wanted someone to answer questions for me. And as a kid, we don't have the ability to answer those things. But now, as an adult, you know, anything that I want answers to, I have the ability to find and seek and figure out those answers. And there was times as a kid where I think the biggest turning point in my life where I became hardcore panic and full of anxiety was when I was in fourth or fifth grade, probably fourth. I don't even know how old I was in fourth grade. But I went over to a friend's house who had a very, very, very abusive father. And I spent the day working my butt off for this kid's father, cutting grass by hand, not with a hand mower, with a sickle, and being screamed at and yelled at, and seeing him beat his son and his mother, or I mean his wife, and just a brutal guy. And that night we were in his room, and he had a TV, and we watched the Amityville Horror. And I suffered through the rest of that night with the worst panic I've ever had in my life. I didn't know what it was, but I was completely convinced that I was going to be possessed by the devil. So thank God that I had some strength, and we all have the strength to get by. We've gotten this far without any problems. So keep that in mind. If you've gotten this far, you're going to get further. So I got through to the next day. And when I'm young, or when you don't know that you're living in the moment. You're in fear, but you're in fear of one thing. And you're in fear of something that isn't going to happen and hasn't happened. You're in fear of the future. But we have no control of the future. But we do have control of what we actually do versus what we think. And because we create habits, we actually create habits of thinking. So as a young boy, after seeing this movie, I created a habit. And that habit was that I was going to be possessed by the devil. And I was going to be, you know, the person that was going to molest my sister, even though I know she was being molested by a family member. And I vividly remember this. I woke up, I went home, and I was a mess. I went up to my room, and in my room, in the window, it was spring. There were flies in my window, and those flies immediately caused me to panic. Again, a young boy had no idea what this feeling was. So I went downstairs, and my mother was doing laundry, and it was in the back of the house. And I was crying, and I said that I wanted to talk to you. And she said, well, I'm doing laundry, and she continued to do the laundry. But instead of saying, you know, Mom, I need to really talk to you, this is very important, I acted out, and she said, what is it? And I remember her putting that last load of laundry in, dumping this open. It was a top load washer, and slamming the top down, looking over her right shoulder and saying, what is it? And I said, well, I was at, you know, his house last night, and I was scared because I saw this movie, and this person got possessed by the devil, and they killed people, and then I'm scared, and I don't know what to do. And nothing against my mother. This was just her way of coping. And my mother went through hell, and her way of coping was different than my way of coping with my kids. And I don't blame her. So please, Mom, if you're listening, I love you. This has nothing to do with bringing up my past. This is just to help people understand how important it is to recognize kids at a young age because they are developing memories. So my mother said, oh, cut the shit. If you really think that, then you are going to be crazy. And I took that serious. So I did everything I could to stop worrying, but I couldn't. So I assumed, because I couldn't stop worrying, that I was going to be crazy. So I immediately ran upstairs, and I had my sister's room next to me, and she had her own phone in her room. It was a rotary dial phone, and she had her own number because she was older than me, and she was always on the phone. And she, I knew, would have the answer because she was out visiting my aunt. And my aunt was a born-again, super religious, and she spent a lot of time when I would see her telling us how the devil was in all the music and they wouldn't watch TV because the devil was in the TV, all this stuff. And I said, if anybody knows, I'll call her. My sister was at my aunt's. She'll know. And I vividly remember calling my sister and saying the same thing I told my mother, blah, 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 blah. I'm scared. I'm going to be possessed by the devil. And my sister's reaction, and nothing again against my sister, it's your sister, she said, oh, my God, Mark. And I said, what? She's like, you need to hang up the phone right now. And I said, why? And she said, because you, go look in the mirror, are growing horns out of your head right now as we speak. And I just fucking freaked out and cried. And I had nowhere to go, nowhere to turn except in my room. And that goes back to the story in number two where I told you about my counselor's kid seeing a monster. I had questions that weren't answered at that point in my life. So I carried on with these fears. And from that point forward, I had major, major anxiety problems that really, really hindered my young life. It got to the point where I couldn't go anywhere. I would try to go places and I would want to come home. And again, nothing against my mother. I can see where it would be very frustrating, but I would call when it got dark and say, I need to come home. And it was very frustrating for her. And so at that point, they created a nickname for me as a kid that always has, you know, bothered me, not today, but then bothered me, but it was just my new name. And my new name was Sis. And so from that point forward, I was known as Sis because I couldn't be alone and I was scared of everything. But I had just so many traumatic events in my life that I had reason to be scared. I didn't have answers to them. And there's more that I could go on and on about, but that's not my point. My point is, it's so important to recognize what it is a kid is fearing and answer those questions. So you're not going to get them all. And eventually, you hope your kid will grow and figure things out on his own or her own, and things will move on. But with anxiety, you start to build, or things start to collect in your head, and you constantly create these habits. And these negative thoughts take over. And it's no different than, let's say, somebody that just doesn't have anxiety that can't understand this. I'm sure you've been in a position where you've heard a song, and the rest of the day you can't stop singing this song. Well, a person with anxiety creates negative thinking, or a person with OCD or a mother with postpartum creates these negative thoughts, but they become very, very intrusive, and they can be extremely scary. And they're very scary and always about usually the people that are most important to you in your life. So people listening to this that don't have anxiety probably can't comprehend what I'm saying. But this podcast is for the people that do have anxiety and can relate with exactly what I'm saying. Anxiety turns into panic attacks. And with all of those panic attacks and with that anxiety, your brain is stuck in a hamster cage. And that wheel just spins and spins and spins because you are fearing what you're going to do. And you're picturing things that you don't want to picture. But like that song, you can't get out of your head. Those things will not go away. Well, why is that? Because you've created a habit. And that's where I had, since I, as far as I can remember, I had an addiction to wanting more because I always had these scary thoughts in my head and I constantly needed to know I was okay. And I didn't always get these answers. So I would seek anything in any way possible to know that I was okay. I would tell myself, give yourself a year, you're going to be okay. Give yourself a year. A year later, I'd give myself another year. And it went on. And here's where we fix ourselves. A person with anxiety constantly fears one thing, the future, what they're going to do, what is going to happen. I'm afraid of what I saw is going to happen. And one thing that is, I have to make sure that everybody with anxiety knows that there is a huge difference between what we think and what we do. So what we think and the actions we take are two totally different things. And with anxiety or without anxiety, everybody, I don't care, the most successful people or the least successful people, spend a majority of their day talking to themselves and thinking. And there's always people that have negative thinking. If there was no negative thinking, then everybody in the world would be accomplished billionaires. And I'm not saying you have to be an accomplished billionaire to be a successful thinker, but we all have self-doubt and self-talk that we just are negative about. But with anxiety, we focus on fears and the things that we are most afraid of. A good example would be mothers with birth, you know what I'm talking about, or people with OCD, they have fears, or just myself with anxiety, postpartum, that's what I was thinking of. Mothers with postpartum, they neglect their baby, and people often think they just get depressed. But really inside, they are fearing and seeing and visualizing themselves hurting their baby. They are seeing vicious, terrible, heinous acts that they think they are going to do. So they separate themselves from the baby. I once knew a mother that was in fear of drowning her kid, not from postpartum. She just had anxiety, and those memories would pop in her head. So she would not bathe her kid. Her husband had to do it. So you can understand how scary that can be. Now, again, like I said, I grew up with these fears, and I knew, because I would tell myself nonstop, there's no way I'm going to do these things. Why am I thinking them? Well, because I didn't know how my brain worked. And how your brain works is by fight or flight. So you have to just know you're okay. And this is not as easy as it sounds. It takes a lot of work, and it is baby steps. And I still currently work on this. At 48 years old, I still get anxiety, but nothing, not even remotely close to what I used to. I am currently working on a lot of self-help books that we'll get into another podcast about living in the moment, and it's the power of now. But As a born worrier, we constantly worry about the future. And so if you have anxiety and you suffer from anxiety or panic attacks, you need to take a moment and just think about where you are in that moment that you're panicking and let yourself know you're okay, because you are okay and you're going to be okay. You're fearing the future, and your body doesn't know that you're fearing yourself. It only knows that you're in danger. So when you're in danger, your body can only do one thing. Your brain fires all of those nervous system transmitters, or whatever you want to call them, and it just starts to make you alert that there's danger. So you have to let yourself know that there's no danger. You have nothing to be afraid of. And slowly but surely, you will start to completely rewrite the roadmap that's in your brain. When you stop fueling your fears with fuel, then your brain starts to realize there's no real danger. And it throws all of those memories or scary thoughts that are attached to the moment you're having away. And it starts to realize that it doesn't need to scare you anymore, because you know you're safe. And easier said than done. When I first heard this, I said, that's just how my wife tells me. Think of something better. And, you know, people with anxiety or without anxiety, think of something else is not the answer. It's impossible. But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is recognize what you're doing. Once you recognize what you're doing, then you'll start to see a light in a whole new way. Recognize that you're safe, that you only have control of one thing, and that is this moment right now. And in this moment right now, I am just repeating everything that I've said for the last however many years you've been dealing with this. You know? For me, if it happens to start now, I can say, here it comes, but it's nothing. I'm 48 years old. I've dealt with this for 48 years old, and I've gotten this far. Nothing's happened. Nothing's going to happen. And as soon as I say that, that butterfly feeling in your stomach that I used to fear so bad when I started to feel this just starts to fade away. Because my body knows, hey, I don't need to alert him. There's no real danger. And when you can start to detach these files, get them away from your brain, out of your brain, you will survive. You're going to survive anyways. So don't take that wrong. Don't let that scare you. Because I know how any little word can scare you if you have anxiety. But I promise you, you're going to survive. You're not going to be hurt. You're not going to hurt anybody. These are your thoughts, and your thoughts are telling you that you're in danger. So don't listen to your thoughts. Let yourself know you're safe. You only have control of right now. Your thoughts are not what you do. Okay? So when I say your thoughts are not what you do, there's two people that I used to say live inside me. As a kid, I used to say, you know, thinking, I used to think that someone was talking to me, but not literally a voice. I didn't hear another voice. I just heard myself thinking. And we do have two voices inside of us. We have a voice that I'm using right now to talk to you guys, and then I have another voice that thinks. And that voice that thinks nonstop. And if you think about it, the only time that we don't sit here and think as when we are involved in something that we're happy doing. Think about something you love that you're doing all the time. You're not thinking of other things. You're not thinking in the future. But when you're doing things that you know you could be spending your time doing better, your mind just, that's what controls you. So again, that's where I say, what we think and what we do are two totally different things. And that's kind of where I'm at in life right now. I have, you know, gotten through the anxiety, And everybody that suffers from it will get through it if they just keep recognizing what it is. Let your body and your mind know what it is. Learn to live in the moment. Don't live in the past. I don't like it. I used to use it. But what happened in the past is gone, and it's crap if you're going to use that as an excuse. Well, this happened to me, or this happened to me. Well, it did. But if you want to dwell on that, there's no chance of you moving forward. But if you want to accept who you are in this moment, forget what happened in the past, then you will have a much, much brighter future. And don't think this is easy. It's not. I am working on it, and it is hard. I'm working on it in my relationship. I'm working on it in my life. I'm working on it in my business. And it's so hard to do because there is so much that I want to do and accomplish every day, but it never gets done exactly how I talk to myself in the morning. I'm always behind schedule. I set my expectations too high. We generally all do when we try to learn this technique. So we have to do it a little baby step at a time. And with that comes success. Even the most successful people that you know that are millionaires, or even it doesn't have to be about money, but you know they're just happy, they still have self-doubt, but they can get themselves through it. So what I mean by that is, I think a lot of people can relate with this. I am capable of making so much more money than I do, but I don't. And it's not because I can't. It's because I can, but I just choose not to. If I wanted to be a millionaire, I truly could be a millionaire. It would take, 100 hours a week of dedication. I would have to double my workload and sacrifice the things I enjoy, which is sitting on a couch and being lazy. And I don't do it. So I have to learn to accept that. And I have learned to accept that. But what I'm trying to get myself not to accept is to live where I'm living right now. And that is just getting by. Because I'm not... It's so easy for me to live below my means and to have so much more. I have so much stuff, but I've also spent most of my life buying things that brought me happiness. And they brought me happiness for about the 30 seconds that I bought it. When I walked out the door, that dopamine was gone. And, that's something that I had to learn, and I'm still learning, is... buying stuff doesn't buy happiness. I've spent so much time and so much money, and I have so much crap because of just self-pity and wanting more because I thought that's what I needed to make myself happy. So the only person capable of making you happy is yourself. You have to set expectations that you know you are going to achieve. I personally am trying to, and this is baby steps, just do a little bit more each day, in the morning and at the end of the day. And in the last week, I've noticed a huge difference. I've started earlier and I've ended a little later. I've stopped myself from going home when there was one more little job that I could do. I've gone and I've done it, and it has brought me this tremendous feeling, and I'm not kidding, it really has. And I've talked to my wife about it, and she might think I'm a little cuckoo right now, but it's truly this little journey that I'm on to make myself a better person. And it's something I've started since the day that I gave up living with anxiety. And that was, like I said in podcast number 2, when I was 30 years old. So from birth to 30 years old, I constantly thought it was everybody else. I blamed everybody else. I blamed my past. I took no accountability. My addiction. Let's get into the addiction. The drugs. They hid my fears. I ran from my fears through my addiction. Drugs let me escape from one fear, but start another one. So I completely solved the fear of the anxiety, but I started the fear of not being able to be high. And that created another whole monster. It ruined my life, and it was probably the worst thing. Well, not like I said, it was the worst thing I've done ever in my life, but also the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. Because without my addiction, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. I would not have held myself accountable, and I wouldn't be working on helping other people. That's just my motivation to being better, is helping other people. And it feels good doing it. I love it. Again, this is me saying I wish, which I could, wish I could go back to school and get a degree in psychology. Could I? Yes. Realistically, I could. We all can do what we want. But am I going to do it? No. So I accepted that. And once you accept something, then the thoughts of doing it or the self-talk of doing it just doesn't happen anymore. So this is my way of, you know, therapy for myself and also trying to help others. Life is very difficult. I can't imagine being a teenager with anxiety today. Because of social media. And the reason I say that is the only thing that we fear, really, other than our scary thoughts of what, you know, we're going to hurt or who we're going to hurt or if we're going to get hurt, is we're scared of judgment. And that doesn't just revolve around anxiety. That revolves around everything we do in life. And all realistically, we only have to prove something to who, and that's ourselves. But we don't do stuff because of why? Because we're afraid of what others think. And when you can work on getting rid of that fear of what others think, then doors open that you wouldn't know were possible. And this is a great example. If you would have asked me 20 years ago to talk about anything that I've talked about to the world, much less even my mother, I would say you are ludicrous, because there's no way I would let anybody know what I was thinking, how I was feeling, or any of that shit, especially in high school. In high school, I was just like the tough, semi-athletic, thought girls liked me, but I was a douche. I mean, I was a complete douche. And high school is such a minuscule part of your life. It's gone just like that. You don't think that it's gone when you're in high school. But I was just living completely outside of who I was. And that was just because we fear what people think of us. And I can't imagine being in today's world, having low self-esteem like I did, and not being able to go home and even escape it. I mean, it goes wherever anybody goes today, and it is scary. And I feel so sorry for people. I see it in my daughter. I see it in all my relatives that are teenage years. They cannot escape. There is no safe place for them because they cannot be wrapped up in their phone. And that causes tremendous anxiety. And people with anxiety do what? They run from their fears, and they do it in ways that are not healthy for you. I did it with drugs. Other people do it with misbehaving, acting out, being a terror, doing something brutally that drives your parents nuts until they give you what you want. I mean, it's just, it's a really tough world. But again, I don't want to go on forever. I have so much more I want to talk about, but I can tell that I'm already kind of repeating myself. So I'm just going to end by saying, don't fear the fear. If you have anxiety, recognize that you're in fear of the future. But we have no control of the future. And you're just afraid of your thoughts. Your thoughts are what is trying to scare you. Your body's trying to tell you something's wrong. But there's nothing wrong. I promise you, there's nothing wrong. You are giving in to your thoughts. Don't give in to them. Stand up, face them, and let them know, I am okay in this moment. Presently, there's no danger. There's no danger that I see in the future, and there's nothing I can do that happened in the past. You got to today, and you're going to get to tomorrow, and nothing's going to change. You are just living in fear. So be strong, be safe, and don't run from it. Don't suppress those thoughts. Recognize them. Let yourself know they're just thoughts. Your body's just responding to your thoughts. No different than if someone was holding a gun to your head. It's called fight or flight. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You can be a plumbing and a heating contractor and understand this. It's just your thoughts. Don't give in to them. Work really hard, and you will find peace. And when you find peace from anxiety, you will open up doors to so many more places and things about yourself that need to be worked on, and recognize so much about yourself that your journey will never end, will never continue learning, and you will dive deep and learn everything you can about your disease. And when you get to that point, it is pretty fascinating. So again, I am out of here. I hope I didn't repeat myself too much. I hope some of this makes sense. I know if there's people listening that are suffering from anxiety, you're going to get it. And until next time, have a great week and be safe.